everybody. Welcome to the OETA Movie Club podcast. My name is Jeff Moreva, the director of the show, and I'm here with our host, Robert Birch.
Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
It's going great. How you doing?
Oh, not too bad.
Good.
Talking about movies today.
Talking about movies. One of our favorite things to do.
Uh-huh.
So this is the OETA Movie Club. Uh-huh. We come to you each weekend on OETA, and we show movies every Saturday night at 9. We repeat those movies the following Friday at 11.
At 11.
So you have two chances to tune in.
Right.
And this week, the movie is Sweet Smell of Success.
I keep saying the Sweet Smell. It's not.
Sweet Smell of Success.
Starring Burt Lancaster and Tony Curtis.
Yeah, set this up for us a little bit. This is a great one.
Citizen Kane is actually about William Randolph Hearst.
Yes.
This film is pretty much about Walter Winchell, the
tell people who that
Broadway
is.
Broadway columnist. He would cover Broadway, Wall Street, the Hollywood, and Washington D.C. But he had this style on the radio. You know, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and all the ships at sea. You know, Flash from New York. Well, he was he was in New York. He hung out at the places where actors, politicians, all would have a drink.
Right.
Sardi's or the Russian Tea Room or some a place like that. He would always be there. He's always like listening in on conversations.
Right.
He's kind of a sleazy character.
Kind of a sleaze, yeah.
And he was unkind to many people. He destroyed careers.
He was part of the whole anti-communist movement.
Right. The Red Scare.
The Red Scare and all
and,
that.
And back when one single word could destroy your career, and he went out. He did. He in the HBO series Lucy and Desi. It starts off with Winchell calls Lucy a communist, and they almost lost their careers. I Love Lucy almost was canceled because of that.
That's so crazy.
And she was not a communist.
Right.
Right. I mean, you didn't have to be one to be destroyed as one.
Exactly.
And Burt Lancaster plays this role of Winchell. They'd wanted, Burt Lancaster's a producer on this, and he was looking, he tried to get Ernest Borgnine for this film. Borgnine turned him down. He had thought about Orson Welles.
Yeah, I saw the Orson Welles
as the J.J. character in this. And he had approached Hume Cronyn because he had such a physical resemblance to Winchell at the time that he thought, he would have been great.
Yes, he would have.
But this is considered a really, really great film. That kind of banter, the witty banter that comes back and forth, and sometimes not so witty, sometimes very cutting and damaging banter. This was the era of the columnist. You know, everybody from Will Rogers to Dorothy Kilgallen had a regular column that was published in papers all across the United States. And this is how people got their information was, since you couldn't be at the Broadway hangout on Saturday night after the shows, Winchell would tell you. Dorothy Kilgallen would get gossip from her contacts and, is give people that, maybe lived in the heartland more of a connection to those movers and shakers. You kind of felt like you were a part of the in gang.
Yeah.
And that's what these columns, did. But there was a dark side to this as well, too, because, gossip goes both ways.
Of course.
And can hurt as much as it helps.
Yeah.
And the plot on this is that Burt Lancaster is this gossip columnist. And this theatrical agent who has clients, Tony Curtis, is trying to, if you got a word in, a positive word about your client into one of these columns, you were set.
Yeah.
And that's what he's trying to do. And he's all the time doing more favors for the Winchell character. And some of these are not so great, particularly involving something that was very similar to Walter Winchell's family. He was very protective of his sister. I guess you could say protective. He actually had FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover run. This is Winchell, had him run his sister's boyfriend out of the country,
right?
And had her put into a mental institution to keep her away from men.
Yeah.
You know, awful, terrible men. And you know, the same thing is this theme carries over into this film,
right? Yeah. And Ernest Lehman's original novella of this first was published in Cosmopolitan magazine in 1950, and the editors refused to print the story under its name.
Right.
They would not put the word smell in one of their articles, and so it was changed to Tell Me About It Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Sort of a benign.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, well, that's not near as good a sweet smell.
Especially for Cosmopolitan, who is kind of a trendsetter. But
when it was released in book form, it was put back to Sweet Smell of Success. And then Lehman later said that he took comfort in the fact that Sweet Smell of Success became a common phrase in American language, you know.
But Lancaster was very dissatisfied with him dropping out as screenwriter.
Right.
He said, you know, he got sick, but Lancaster always felt that he lost his nerve, that he was afraid of what Winchell might do to him in the tabloids, and bowed out. You know, they brought in another writer who obviously did a very good job.
Yeah.
But at the premiere, Lancaster grabs him, Lehman, and says, you know, this film is only half as good as it could have been. I ought to beat you up.
Right.
For dropping out. And he was serious.
Yeah.
He was going to take a swing at it, you know.
And Lehman says, go ahead, I need the money.
Yeah. Exactly.
Speaking of money, the original budget for this film was only $600,000.
Uh-huh. But that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. This is 1957.
Uh-huh.
And it ended up being $2.6 million. When they were done.
Which is a lot more money.
That is quadruple the original budget. That is crazy to me.
And that happens still, right? You know,
of course. Yeah, it happens every movie. Every movie goes over budget. Yeah. I mean, one of the coolest things for me about this movie, rewatching it, was all the New York stuff. Because I lived there briefly and in the 90s I don't know. It was just really cool to see some of these old scenes and old streets that I haunted. And
the places that are not there anymore.
That are not there anymore. Yeah, there's a lot that are not there anymore. In this film, I mean, it is on everybody's list of top 100 films.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it hits Entertainment Weekly. I can't even think of all of them, but
AFI and TCM and
it makes top 100 on all those lists. So,
well, and the quotes too, a lot of the quotes are the top, of all, all time in film.
Right. Exactly. Top 100 lines.
So like in this one, the big line is, I'd hate to take a bite out of you because you're a cookie filled with arsenic. Or another throwaway line is Lancaster says, you're dead, kid. Go get yourself buried. You know.
Yeah, that's a great one. Well, we were talking about Walter Winchell and talking about the plot of this movie, about getting his sister basically, you know, in a mental facility and getting her out of this romance and everything. Parallels a little bit to his real life. In real life, Walter Winchell was so obsessive about his daughter's love life.
It's his daughter.
It's his daughter.
Okay.
That he had her. No. In the movie, it's his sister.
Right.
In real life, his daughter was so obsessive about her that he had her institutionalized for being emotionally unstable.
Yeah.
With the help of J. Edgar Hoover.
Right.
It's just crazy to me.
And back then, J. Edgar Hoover,
He had all the power. Yeah, he did. But couple people have quoted this as saying that this film is their favorite. So Tony Curtis says that this is the favorite of all his films that he ever did. And then Martin Scorsese says that this is one of his favorite films ever made.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, well, that's a pretty good... That's a pretty good, you know, endorsement right
there. I'll bet he loves the Time Capsule of New York.
Oh, I bet.
That this is.
Yeah, I bet so. Let's talk about a little bit about this quintet, the Chico Hamilton Quintet.
They're pretty good.
They're really good, but it cracks me up how they got the job.
Uh-huh.
So you want to tell that story?
I'll set it up. So they were they represented the West Coast really cool jazz scene that was going on at the time.
Right.
And, you know, they thought they wanted to, what a great opportunity to put that, you know, of course, the West Coast, right? This is an East Coast film, right? But the soundtrack is West Coast.
Yes.
And they had actually done an entire score for the film, this Chico Hamilton Quartet, Quintet.
Yeah.
They had done a whole score for the film, and the producers didn't...
Yeah, United Artists rejected it.
Yeah, they didn't like it.
It was too esoteric.
Right.
Yeah.
So they hired a little-known composer at the time named Elmer Bernstein to do the score for this, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
They're really good.
And they hired him. They said they wanted a similar score to The Man with the Golden Arm.
Right.
That was what they kind of wanted in their head, and... And I guess the Fred Katz and Chico Hamilton score just didn't make it for him.
Well, Man with the Golden Arm, you know, they had considered Sinatra for the J.J. character in this, too. I can't really see that.
No.
You know, Sinatra is the you know, weaselly.
Right. He's too cool.
Yeah.
He's too cool.
No way.
Yeah. But going back to that quintet, the reason that they got the job is because they were clean.
Right.
They screened these guys for months, apparently, before the film to make sure that they weren't using drugs because they did not want to give Walter Winchell any ammunition to go to war, you know, to fight over this movie.
Right.
And
because, you know, like William Randolph Hearst did everything in his power to kill Citizen Kane and make sure it was never seen by anybody.
Right.
Walter Winchell wanted this film killed.
Yeah.
Although he had nowhere near the power that Hearst had.
No.
But, you know, he wrote some nasty things about it in his column, of course. And Winchell was reportedly delighted that this was a box office bomb.
Right.
He was very happy. I mean, he had done everything he could to get it killed, but then he was just sort of, it was... Great news for him that it didn't do well at the box office. And
right.
It didn't. But in later, you know, like there's a lot of films that don't do well in their release and then turn out to be great classics.
Oh, yeah. We were talking.
Great Dombowski. I love that.
Yeah. We were just talking about one Dombowski. A couple of weeks ago, The Alamo. That was a box office flop.
Oh, yeah.
But eventually made its money back and has become one of the best epics, you know, of all time and all this. But, you know, they were shooting in New York, and apparently it was very difficult shooting in New York with Tony Curtis in the cast.
Right.
Because they kept getting all kinds of groupies trying to get to him, and they were having to, like, blockade you know, stuff off.
This was the height of his popularity. And those women were – it was women who were leaping over those barricades to get at Tony Curtis.
Yeah. I mean, just – crazy.
But this is one of his favorite films. I think of Spartacus as like one of his great films. This is obviously a favorite of his, probably because of the dialogue, because of the just the meatiness of doing some playing a character who is not that great of a guy,
Right, yeah.
Playing the villain is always a lot more fun than playing the hero.
It is. Let's talk a little bit about the Twilight Zone for a second, because this has a weird, you know, 6 degrees of separation to the Twilight Zone.
Uh-huh.
21 actors from this movie would later go on to star in The Twilight Zone.
Wow.
That's crazy to me. 21. I could name them all for you, but we don't have time.
Well, the kind of actors that are in this, too, they're New York-based
They are.
Actors. So they would be on, like, Playhouse 90
just all kinds of...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, 20,
Twilight
21.
Twilight Zone.
21 actors from
Dr. Kildare.
God, that's an old one.
Right, man. Right.
All right, so we are almost out of time. I do want to give a shout-out real quick to your friend who sent in, good
Dave.
Old friend of yours,
Dave Francis.
Sit in a great celebrity photo with UConn's own Garth Brooks.
Oh, sorry. Jump the gun.
Oh, man, spoiler. Yeah. No, So you were friends with this guy.
Yeah, Dave and I. Dave was the first manager of the Blockbuster Video in Oklahoma City. And I was assistant manager starting under him and worked my way up. That was a great time.
That was a great time. So thank you, Dave, for sending in that photo. And we love getting those celebrity photos. If you have one, please send it in.
Please.
Include a story of how you met the person and why you're getting your picture taken with them and all that, because that really helps us when we...
It really does. Who, what, when, where, and why.
That's right. That's right. You could write a column.
Of your own. Just be nice.
Exactly. Don't be a jerk like Walter Winchell. All right. Well, we are out of time, guys. I want to say thank you for everybody for listening. Mm-hmm. Please tune in next week. We'll have the greatest story ever told.
Oh, yeah. Great biblical epic.
That's right.
Max von Sydow makes his... one of his early films, right? He plays... A character that you might be familiar with.
Jesus Christ.
And Charlton Heston is in it.
Of course he is.
As John the Baptist.
Right. Because, you can't have a biblical epic without him.
Right.
So,
you couldn't do it.
You can't do it. So, but anyway, tune in next week. Again, Saturdays at 9, Fridays at 11. And if you're looking for anything else on OETA, just go to oeta.tv. We've got all kinds of stuff, great stuff there. oeta.tv/movieclub gives you all the trailers and the movie schedule and all kinds of stuff. So please tune into that.
Yeah.
And thank you guys for listening. And until next week, take care.
Good night. Make sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. You can preview all upcoming OETA Movie Club films at oeta.tv/movieclub. And please, send your celebrity photos to P.O. Box 14190, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73113, or you can email them to us at oeta.tv/movieclub. And of course, tune in every Saturday night at 9 and on Fridays at 11. We'll see you on the couch every weekend for a great movie and fresh popcorn.